He almost squirmed as he spoke. Bailey said, "I imagine you find this rather hard."
"Well, quite."
Quimmot turned away sharply and retreated to a chair at the opposite end of the room. He angled the chair so that it faced more away from Bailey than toward him, and sat down. He clasped his gloved hands, and his nostrils seemed to quiver. Bailey finished his drink and felt warmth in his limbs and even the return of something of his confidence. He said, "Exactly how does it feel to have me here, Dr. Quimmot?" The sociologist muttered,
"Oh, that is an uncommonly personal question."
"I know it is, but I think I explained when I viewed you earlier that I was engaged in a murder investigation and that I would have to ask a great many questions, some of which were bound to be personal."
"I'll help if I can," said Quimmot. "I hope the questions will be decent ones."
He kept looking away as he spoke. His eyes, when they struck Bailey's face, did not linger, but slipped away. Bailey said, "I don't ask about your feelings out of curiosity only. This is essential to the investigation."
"I don't see how."
"I've got to know as much as I can about this world. I must understand how Solarians feel about ordinary matters. Do you see that?" Quimmot did not look at Bailey at all now. He said slowly,
10 years ago my wife died. Seeing her was never very easy, but of course it is something one learns to bear in time, and she was not the intrusive sort. I have been assigned no new wife since I am past the age of.
He looked at Bailey as though requesting him to supply the phrase, and when Bailey did not do so, he continued in a lower voice,
"Siring. Without even a wife, I have grown quite unused to this phenomenon of seeing."
"But how does it feel?" insisted Bailey. "Are you in panic?" He thought of himself on the plane.
"No, not in panic."
Quimmot angled his head to catch a glimpse of Bailey and almost instantly withdrew.
"But I will be frank, Mr. Bailey. I imagine I can smell you."
Bailey automatically leaned back in his chair, painfully self-conscious. "Smell me?"
"Quite imaginary, of course," said Quimmot. "I cannot say whether you do have an odor or how strong it is, but even if you had a strong one, my nose filters would keep it from me. Yet imagination?"
He shrugged. "I understand."
"It's worse. You'll forgive me, Mr. Bailey, but in the actual presence of a human, I feel strongly as though something slimy were about to touch me. I keep shrinking away. It is most unpleasant."
Bailey rubbed his ear thoughtfully and fought to keep down annoyance. After all, it was the other's neurotic reaction to a simple state of affairs. He said, "If all this is so, I'm surprised you agreed to see me so readily. Surely you anticipated this unpleasantness."
"I did, but you know, I was curious. You're an Earthman."
Bailey thought sardonically that that should have been another argument against seeing, but he said only, "What does that matter?" A kind of jerky enthusiasm entered Quimmot's voice.
"It's not something I can explain easily, not even to myself, really, but I've worked on sociology for 10 years now, really worked. I've developed propositions that are quite new and startling and yet basically true. It is one of these propositions that makes me most extraordinarily interested in Earth and Earthmen. You see, if you were to consider Solaria's society and way of life carefully, it will become obvious to you that the said society and way of life is modeled directly and closely on that of Earth itself."
This is the end of the CD. The program continues on the next CD.